Hello and welcome to the Camping Trade World podcast. Today on the pod, we're going to be speaking to Ross Edwards, who is the managing director of one of the UK's best known luxury motorhome dealers, Irwin Heimer Centre Travel World. It's a really interesting chat where we're going to cover life as a dealer during the coronavirus restrictions, the growing demographic of campers in the UK, and the growth curve in the industry in general that Ross believes will continue for some time to come. Just a small note, we had a few technical difficulties with the sound quality at Ross's end on this one. We've all been there with video calls, so apologies for that, but it is really worth listening through the interview as Ross has some super interesting views on the motorhome industry as a whole. Thank you for listening and enjoy. Okay, Ross, well, thank you very much for joining me on the podcast. It's a pleasure to have you. I just thought perhaps if we could start by talking a little bit about Irwin Heimer Centre Travel World, for those who aren't aware of it, a little bit about its history and how you came to be involved.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we've recently had a geographical change of dealership. So we moved to Stafford about 2.5 years ago. And it, then that we actually named the dealership Irwin Heimer Centre Travel World. So previously our trading name was Travel World Motorhomes. That's the dealership effectively. And the Irwin Heimer Centre, if you like, is the site now that we're on. We've got a long history in the industry. We've been trading for 44 years now. Large part of that history was quite a niche part of the industry where we were importing RVs from the States and retailing them in the UK, and then around the time of the last recession, the financial recession in 2009, there was a big shift in all markets were down considerably in our industry during that period of time, and we lost some of our main suppliers in the US, and so it was then that we chose to transition into British and European motorhomes. And we probably spent 5 or 6 years finding our feet with the brands that we chose. We took several brands on from France and from the UK and then eventually Germany. And we got the opportunity to become a Heimer dealer in 2012. And it was then that we decided that was our future, basically. We'd always had a strong desire to become a Heimer dealer. It wasn't possible before 2012, but that was when they set up a new network in the UK. And then in 2015, we took the opportunity to become an exclusive Irwin Heimer Group dealer. So which is something that they offer to their dealer network, which is they incentivize the dealer to deal only in brands under the Irwin Heimer Group umbrella. We'd already had two brands, Neusman and Bischoff as our premium brand, Heimer as our luxury brand, and at that time we had Auto Trail and Rapido, so we stopped trading with those brands and took on Corrado, and then for probably 3 or 4 years ran with just those three brands under the umbrella, and then that led us to when we eventually moved site in 2019 to the new dealership, we took on Detlefs as the fourth brand within the group and rebranded as Irwin Heimer Centre Travel World.
Right, okay, brilliant. And am I right in thinking you're a family business?
Yes, right? I think you asked how I was involved, but yes, I'm it's my father that started the business. And so we've been a family business for that entire time. I joined the business in the sort of late 90s and have worked my way through various positions within the business, mainly sort of sales orientated, and then I became the managing director in 2009.
Great. Okay. Brilliant. That's kind of a little bit about where you are now, and obviously becoming a Heimer exclusive dealer has worked out well for your business. And so I just wanted to sort of talk about something you've sort of kind of said publicly recently, which is about recent events in the industry. Obviously, the last year has been quite difficult, but it's also had some plus sides. And you've kind of experienced that firsthand, is that right?
Yes, I mean it's been an incredible 12-month period. Our financial year is actually April, so that's made it unusual as well, because we sort of cut off the first lockdown in half. So we lost the April month into last year, and then carried this the second half of the shutdown into this next financial year, and then of course the subsequent lockdowns as well. So it's been a very, very odd year, in the sense that we've been effectively shut down for 4/5 months. I think people you often sort of forget about the tier system as well. That, you know, we deal nationally, not just locally, and so when you've got that when that tier four system was in large parts of the UK, that was probably 75% lockdown. So in real terms, we've probably been in that form of lockdown for probably more than half of our financial year. So yeah, incredibly challenging. We are very lucky as an industry and as a business that we've been dramatically less affected by the situation than others, because of the fact that there is such strong demand for our products and for the industry. It's very, you know, really, COVID couldn't, there's no way that our industry in the UK could ever have afforded the marketing campaign that COVID has led us to. National media latching onto staycation and holidaying in the UK, rather than going abroad in the sort of post COVID era. So we've taken great benefit from that. But as I say, it's been very frustrating at the same time, because we haven't been able to take full advantage of it. But really, I think, you know, we don't see it slowing down anytime soon. I get the strong impression that we've got at least another 12 months of strong demand.
Okay, so how has your experience being as a dealer selling things which obviously ordinarily people like to come and have a look of and a touch of and a sit in? How have you sort of handled that experience of selling that virtually? Because obviously you had to be closed for quite some time.
Yeah, I think the first, obviously the sort of lockdowns have been quite different for most people. I think the first lockdown, which was a very serious lockdown for most people, and I think businesses in our industry desperately tried to promote the virtual tours and using video. I mean, we have See It Now. We already had a See It Now video sales tool in our dealership prior to the first COVID lockdown. So it was something that we were used to doing anyway. And we do FaceTime, sales guys do FaceTime as well, which is quite useful. So there were already tools that we were using in the business. So we certainly tried to advertise the fact that we could do it and do virtual. But I think in the real, you know, the sort of cultural shock of the first lockdown, people probably weren't, the demand had started to be generated by that in that lockdown, but it wasn't at full steam by that point. So I think the sort of call to action for people actually wanting to purchase vehicles at that time was certainly lower than it is now. And yeah, we certainly were getting requests for virtual tours and for videos and what have you, and information gaining. But I don't remember completing any sales during that period of time. We then went through a very significant sort of sales boom through the summer, and then obviously we had the sort of later lockdowns into November, and I think November and certainly January lockdowns have been very much so. People have definitely taken advantage far more of the virtual tours with a real, you know. I mean, I honestly didn't believe that our direct, when I say our industry, motorhome, the motorhome industry in particular, was going to be able to take advantage of things like click and collect. But we've actually proved in January that it is possible. I think November, there probably wasn't still the call to action because people didn't need them imminently. But even January, February, you know, people know that we're going to be, you know, Easter onwards, hopefully, we're going to be allowed to back to some form of travel. And so people really know that they need to get, you know, obviously start the sales process and acquire the vehicles sooner rather than later. So we have actually, so we are now making sales through via click and collect. It's very tricky because people need to touch and feel our vehicles. They are different, you know, cars I think have been more successful with click and collect because it's less important to touch and feel a vehicle. But this is, I think, is where, you know, the video side of it is being taken that whole step further, where you know, it's not just a 360 camera or a quick look around the interior of the vehicle. It's customers being on FaceTime, opening every single drawer and looking in every single, you know, to that point of detail where they've had all their questions answered and they're comfortable to commit without seeing the vehicle. So yeah, it's certainly happening, and it's something that I didn't expect to see in our industry, but it's, we've proved that we can do it. So.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a lot of things people probably didn't expect in the industry this year that have happened, but we're kind of rolling with it. So that's great. I think actually you've also mentioned before that obviously the interest is starting to ramp up now for hopefully the spring and the summer of camping, but also that the demographic of people interested in buying motorhomes is showing some kind of shift to a slightly younger one. Is that right?
Yeah, and I don't think we are. I don't know. Yes, I say that the demographic shift. I don't think we're losing our sort of core demographic. Particularly, I think we're just gaining a wider audience, a greater demographic, which is fantastic. I mean, this is really the gold pot at the end of the rainbow for our industry. You know, in terms of what you would want to try and achieve in any one year as a marketing campaign for the industry and for motorhome use, it's appealing to different audiences and a wider audience. And so we've seen not only the demographic widen into younger people and families, but also to first time buyers. This has been a really, really big shift. You know, I mean, in some of the months of the year, we've seen as much as 75% of our customers being first-time buyers, which is incredibly encouraging because this is the fresh blood that we all strive to achieve. And so, yes, very, very encouraging.
Absolutely. And do you think it's just driven? Obviously, it's been fast-forwarded by COVID, but do you think that was a shift that was kind of happening before anyway, and this has just accelerated it, or is this kind of something new?
Yeah, there's quite a lot of things to look at in that question, in the sense that you know, you can look at the fact that from if you look at the National Caravan Council numbers of volumes of touring caravans sold per year versus motorhomes, if you go back as little as 10 years, we were still by far the biggest caravanning market in the whole of Europe. And there was something like 30,000 caravans being sold and only 7,000 or 8,000 motorhomes. We're now, over the last 10 years, the transformation has now gone, even in the UK, we're now second to Germany in terms of the caravan market in Europe. And we are, the disparity between the two products is dramatically changed. So I think we're somewhere in the region of 15,000 motorhomes and 18,000 caravans. So that's obviously been a huge shift prior to COVID anyway, which I think is partly sort of fashion, the cultural change that we're going through in our market. I think staycations have very much been talked about and discussed prior to COVID. It's, I think, you know, the whole industry, the leisure industry in the UK has gone through a huge level of investment as well. Look at the investment that's gone into park homes and campsites throughout the UK over the last 15, 20 years. It's, you know, there's some incredible facilities now. I think the industry has done a lot over the last 20 years to set themselves up for this boom. And so that's the great news, is that now the boom is coming and so many good news stories for us, we can actually take advantage of it.
Okay. So the next thing I wanted to ask is kind of a twofold thing based on what you just said. So obviously there's been an increase in demand, and initially also COVID did cause some problems with production for some people. So it's kind of a twofold thing. Do you think that, firstly, have you experienced any issues with supply? And kind of layered into that is, with all these new people coming into camping, you know, it's obviously important that they can fulfill that, you know, that new want that they have. So we obviously, we have kind of responsibility to try and help them become campers for life. So obviously rolled into that is the stock issue. You know, if they can't buy it, then they might not come back to it. But are there any other things you think we could do as an industry to sort of ensure people stick with this for life?
But in terms of supply, yeah, that is going to be our biggest single challenge this year. And it was last year, not so much in the sense that, you know, we were sat at home April and May, in the first lockdown, negotiating with our brands as to what product, what volume of orders we wanted that we'd already got in the bank for 2020. And so we've committed to a large number of orders, which we have to do normally 12 months in advance. So there's always that risk element there. And because of the fact that nobody knew what was happening then, none of us were brave enough to know, to be able to predict the future at that point. So we all decided amongst ourselves with the brands and the dealerships that a lot of the production was moved from 2020 into 2021. So in some circumstances, we lost 50% of our production from one model year to the next. In some circumstances, more than that, 75%. So we had less vehicles coming through the 20. But we had, you know, some dealerships struggle with supply. We probably had just about enough. It's left us with a lot less stock on the ground than we would ordinarily have throughout the year and going through this period of time. But again, that hasn't been a particularly negative thing either. We came off the back of the industry went through a very tough period in 18 and 19, where 18 model year was the very peak of the market, and then the market went soft in 19. And so there was a big oversupply of product out there. So this has actually got the industry in a very fit shape by getting rid of the oversupply and the aged stock, but it has left a lot of people with probably less than they would ordinarily have, and probably less than they want on the ground at the moment. Running 2021 model year, because of the demand, we have been forward selling a great deal of our products. So in some circumstances, 50 to 75% of the vehicles we've got on order are already sold before they even hit the ground. So going forward from this period now, going into the summer months, I predict that there will be very sparse levels of stock on the ground going running between the 2021, 2022 model year, which is normally sort of August change. We've had problems with factories closing. You know, I mean, we were very lucky with the German brands because they stayed operational for a lot longer than a lot of the UK brands. So most of our factories were only closed for 3 to 4 weeks. You know, there are circumstances with big UK brands like Swift that were closed for more than 5 months. So there's definitely going to be, that has definitely reduced the level of stock that's going to be coming through for 21 as well. So we're sort of comfortable with the numbers of orders that we've placed, but then we've been hit with even more challenges. So we've now got a situation where Brexit has caused a great deal of problems for the importers in terms of the brands having all the correct codes and paperwork, which in some circumstances they still don't have yet. So we're now halfway through the second month of the year and we haven't brought a single vehicle into the country yet. That's sort of slightly tempered by the fact that COVID is locked down. It's taken the pressure off that a little bit, but it still needs to be resolved sooner rather than later. And we've got chassis supply issues. We've had one of the biggest ones that sort of comes to mind is Fiat, led mainly by the enormous demand across Europe. I mean, we're going through strong demand in our country, as are most of the other European countries. But Germany in particular have gone through the most ridiculous explosion of demand ever seen. And so they are obviously sucking up a huge amount of production from the chassis manufacturers and the brands over there. And it appears that Fiat have overcommitted to their supply. And so that's just one example. And so they've just cancelled a huge number of orders on all the brands. So as that filters down to the dealers are only seeing sort of cancellations of between 5 and 10 vehicle per brand. But over the whole industry, there's probably more than 1,000 units, I suggest, that have been cancelled. So there is any number of challenges yet that we haven't quite uncovered and sort of seen. So there will be delays, unfortunately. And this is the heartbreaking thing, is that, you know, we're going to be trying to supply, desperately trying to get people on their holidays this year as soon as they possibly can. And there will be delays. You know, COVID has I don't think there's many industries that have come out unscathed. Even when you've got demand, you know, you've still got to have a supply, and there's just a raft of supply chain issues in most industries, and cars, importantly, one of them is included. So supply question. I think you were asking about the new customers and
yeah, I mean, like, obviously you just kind of explained that everyone's doing everything they can from a manufacturing and supply point of view to ensure people who are new to camping can get their motor, their first motorhome. But then, yeah, do you think there's anything else kind of above and beyond as an industry we can do to sort of, you know, ensure these people remain engaged and we retain them as sort of lifelong campers?
Yeah, very, very much so. Yes, I think, as I say, I mean, I think touching on the sort of previous questions you were saying about people, you know, where the new demographic come from, or the new buyers from the industry. I think there's been a whole mixture of things. Yes, there's been a lot of people that have sort of brought into the concept of staycation, the marketing of the industry, and the benefits of the post-COVID world and not being on a cruise ship or flying or what have you. But there's definitely been a lot of people that have thought for many years, or, you know, always romanticized about the idea of the freedom of a motorhome or a caravan, and this has just accelerated the buying process for them by sometimes 10 years. And so yeah, I mean, I think I think we need to do everything we can to retain new customers and to hopefully have a relationship that stands the test of time, rather than being a one vehicle purchase. But I think once people have opened their eyes to the benefits of the product, the motorhome, the caravan, and also how much the UK has to offer as a destination, you know, in terms of and going back to what I said about, you know, in terms of the quality of the campsites, the facilities that are available to them, and all the other things that they can do in a motorhome or a caravan. You know, I appreciate things like festivals aren't going to be readily available this year, but you know, all the sort of hobbies that people can do in these vehicles and the doors it opens to them. I think that in itself. But yes, I think the National Caravan Council really needs to, they're sort of our, if you like, governing body of the industry, and they do a lot to promote the industry and to promote to new, and they do a huge amount of good work as it is. And then, and of course, all the other institutions in the industry, you know, these massive institutions like the Caravan Club, the Campion Caravan Club, all these other people that need to do the very, very, they already do an incredible job. And I think that they're well set up to keep a lot of these new customers happy and show them the benefits of our industry.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of proofing ourselves a little bit for the future, because obviously this boom is great right now, but there will obviously come a point where people can go abroad again or can go on a cruise again or whatever. And it's kind of about, yeah, like you said, it's about showing them that actually, you can have a fantastic holiday at home in your motorhome, going to a part of country you've never been before. So,
yeah, just touching on that point as well is that I think that obviously money is a limiting factor for a lot of people, but you know, the vast proportion of our customers don't go on holiday, sorry, go on holiday abroad. They don't have. You know, they don't use the motorhome, isn't 100% of their holidaying. So certainly I think that it's just once people see the benefits, I think that in a lot of cases you can have the best of both worlds, you know, in that situation.
Okay, so obviously you've started this year pretty well, despite all the challenges that you face. So what's the, you know, without giving away any industry secrets, what's the kind of the rough plan for Travel World going forward for the rest of the year and maybe for the next, you know, 5 years or so?
I mean we had our entire sales team working behind the scenes right from the beginning of January, because we were trying to stay in a positive mindset. We knew the demand was there. We didn't know how difficult it would be to continue trading in a sort. most of the, so yes, in terms of the number of deals that we've done, it's been one of our best Januaries ever recorded in terms of actual vehicles sold. The vast proportion of those vehicles that we've sold during January aren't vehicles that are physical. There's probably 25% physical, and most of them aren't being collected until after lockdown's eased. We have done some click and collect where people have been in a situation where they're the vehicle. But we've been placing, so a lot of them have been forward orders for vehicles that are coming later in the year. As a business strategy, we've always had a strategy to grow the business year on year, and we continue to do that. It's been unfortunately we coincided moving into our new premises at the beginning of the downturn in sort of 18-19. So it's been a very challenging couple of years for us, as it has for many dealerships in the industry, with this sort of oversupply and under demand. And that's where it's a very exciting time for us at the moment, because now the tables have been flipped around. You know, it gives us the opportunity to sort of rebuild on that and look forward to the future. So we have a 5-year forecast to grow substantially, and that's about our plan at the moment.
Absolutely, yeah. Like you said earlier, and it's kind of given everyone a chance to reset and get over some of the previous problems and kind of start afresh. So yeah, hopefully some brighter times ahead.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for us.
Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget that if you want to catch up with all the latest news in the camping and leisure vehicle industries, head online to our website at campingtradeworld.com. Our new digital magazine is going to be launching very, very soon. We're really excited, and we hope you are too. Thanks again.